Welcome.
Something just pulled up. Do that again.
Welcome to.
You got a deflection.
Okay. Well, welcome to A Voice of a People. We're going to try to do this anyway. Record this segment of A Voice of a People live here on WGH Talk. Not only that, we stream live on the web, www.wgh1071.com. Or you can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device by searching WWGH. Okay, this is the second hour. I have a guest with me today, Willa James. I will go ahead and give you a thought for today, which is titled Success. It is a sign of wisdom to be able to set goals and then, having done so, to let them go. All that is required for success is a vision of the destination. The journey itself will reveal the means to take you there. Now, Willa James, he also has podcasts on YouTube, and he is also a motivational speaker, and also try to give people wisdom and different ways to think about having success, and they're going there, you know, reaching their destination. And he just been sharing some things with us about his life and how he has traveled around the world and in the military and came from a family of military people. So, Willie, how are you doing this second hour?
I'm doing wonderful. As my friend used to say, one step above excellence.
Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going to have to steal that.
You got it.
One step above excellence.
One step above excellence.
That is great. That is great. And you've been telling us about your story and what has inspired you to make some of your podcasts. You know, you say you're a writer and you've been writing for years, you know, when you were younger and things like that. And those things led you to do your podcast. And you was talking about the military and some of the things you did in the Navy, which is great. So just introduce yourself again.
Well, my name is Willie Harris, but my family called me Willie James. A lot of my friends call me Woody. But either one will work. And I kind of, over the years, man, I've just kind of been living life in the sense of learning things and trying to figure out how to live with people and myself. And so over the years, I've come up with a few different things, you know, so I try to share it with people. Like what Linda was saying as far as the podcast, that came about after I moved here. And I kept getting this idea to send this message out, and I didn't know exactly how to do it. And then someone said, well, try it on YouTube. And that's kind of like how I got started doing that, with doing the YouTube actual podcasting. So on YouTube, when I do the podcast, if you just decide you want to look at one of them, you would have to put in Willie Harris and tap T-A-P and the number 1. And then the videos will come up. So that's the podcasting thought process.
They're pretty good too. I've listened to several of them and give you words of wisdom.
You know, I go back from time to time and look at them. You know, just to see the progression of where I am now,
right,
and where I was then, as far as how to do certain things.
Right, right. And you started the last show telling us about, are you on the right path?
Are you on the right path? Absolutely.
And I want you to share a little bit of that with this listening audience.
Well, like I was saying before, I had,
how that came about. And
well, yeah, I had did a podcast, and it was called Are You on the Right Track? But what it turned out meaning is, like I said before in the first hour, I was saying how you can be on a certain road and be going in the correct direction or the right direction, but you can be on the wrong path. So just because you're going in the right direction, or you think you're going in the right direction, and let me try to give an example for that. A lot of times people say, well, let's go to school and learn how to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the compassion for it, but you figure they can make a lot of money. So you jump into it. Once you get in there, you realize that's not your path. So rather than helping people, you could end up hurting people because you're out of place. and you're in the wrong spot, and you're in the wrong place in life. So it's important for you to know to be on the right path and to be going in the right direction. They got to work together.
That's powerful. That is so powerful. And so easy to not be on the right track. Oh, and absolutely. Thinking you're doing what you know you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So important. So important. And then you also, which when we ended the last show, you told me to remind you.
Of my.
When you lived in Italy.
She's talking about one of my years when I was in Italy.
Yes.
When I was in Italy, it was an interesting time. And one day, a friend that was working in the office with my wife at the time came in, and they had this movie that was coming through. And this is when I was in Italy. And so the whole thing with the movie is she asked me, she said, would you like to stand in for, you know, do a stand-in? I was like, yeah, you know, it sounded like something to do. So I got involved in that. And I started liking it because they was giving me bit part. And so it started out just me doing the one part. And then it was like, hey, you know, we got another part. Would you like to do that? And then after a while, it just got to the point, you know, once every 2 or 3 weeks, they would come to me and say, okay, we got this other thing we want you to do. Now, mind you, we're in Italy, and I'm learning to speak Italian. So I really don't speak Italian that well. And I didn't know the culture that well. I only knew what I knew. So the Italians had never seen someone like myself, because at the time I was very young and impressionable, and I was just starting to learn about self-awareness. So I was hard to deal with. That's what it was. And so I was sitting out one day. We were waiting to go back on the set, and this lady came up to me, and she started talking to me. And she was a beautiful lady, and she was sitting down talking to me. And when I looked at her, I thought she was Italian, you know. And so as she was talking to me, she said, hey, man, she said, do you know that they're talking about making you one of the main stars as the black actor in this country? I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, if you were to get your attitude straight, they can work with you. And I'm like, you speak some good English. And she said, you know, I'm from Toledo. I said, from Toledo. She said, man, look here, you got a shot here, okay? If you would act right, they're actually going to make you a leading man.
A star.
As a black guy. I was too young to understand that. I wanted to come back to America and eat hot dogs and hamburgers and go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. So I kind of shrugged all that stuff off until I got back. And when I got back to the States, and I moved, like, to Maryland. And an opportunity came up again for me to get movies again. So I started doing the whole movie thing over again. Mm-hmm. Only problem then was, challenge, is I didn't have enough money to get into SAG, so I couldn't take it to the next level.
Right.
But other than that, the whole thing in Italy kind of got me started in doing movies. And as I progressed, because the lady that got me into the movies, the reason that that worked was because her husband was one of the main people that owned the theater that they did all their theatrical stuff in at the time. And so by her, you know, knowing me, it was easy to kind of put me right into that position. And it worked out. I just didn't know what I had.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's basically all that happened with that.
And how often does that happen that we don't even realize what we have or the opportunities that are before us? And there's also, it was in Streams of the Desert, and it says some of our biggest mistakes are we don't move when God tells us to move.
Mm-hmm.
We want to wait. We want to see mm-hmm. what it's going to look like or feel mm-hmm. like, you know, or where is it going? Is this really
Absolutely.
Real?
Right.
You know, and that's him saying, well, move, go forward. You know,
right.
I put this opportunity in front of you, so take it.
Absolutely.
Right? Just take it. And a lot of times we just have too many questions. And
you know, the thing that seems to work, like you said, excuse me, when God say move, you got to move. If you don't move, you could miss it, you know?
Yeah.
You might be in it to find something comparable to that, but you'll miss that opportunity.
Yes.
You know, and that particular opportunity won't come back. But now, something similar to it may come back.
True,
you know? Which it did, like I said, once I got back here, I started acting again. But at this particular time, I was a little bit more serious about it. But it was the money aspect this time. You know, I didn't have that to get involved. But had I gotten into the union, I would have stayed into that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you would have.
Oh yeah, because I was working. I see actors now. There's someone that I worked with when they was a lot younger. You know, and it would have took me in a different spot, but you know.
So what does she mean if you act right? What was you?
Well, the thing is, they had this one particular part. I'm glad you asked that question because they had this one particular part. The name of the movie was The Slaves of Abraham. And I was to play a slave in this particular.
Okay.
In this particular. I didn't want to play a slave.
Right. I get that. Yeah.
But see, I didn't know to just play the part. Like I said, I was identifying with who I thought I was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was becoming militant. So I ain't trying to play no slave. And I would walk on set, man, and instead of having a hat pulled down over your head like they would make slaves wear, I would have it all brimmed out, primped in the top, primped down. And then at the time, I had like a big afro. And I had that, it was sticking out the side of the hair, because this was the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just didn't have the slave look for the 70s. Well, you know what? Actually, maybe I did. Maybe that was what the new slaves was looking like. That's just a joke for y'all.
Right, right.
That can pick up on
you
that.
Just wasn't willing to alter yourself at that time.
Well, I just was stubborn, man, and I didn't know.
Right, right.
The main thing is just basically naive. I just didn't know.
Right, right.
It was great opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
But,
it was.
Know, one time I remember I left the set, went back to the office. The lady said, "What you doing here?" I said, "They have everybody else." Now, mind you, this is how silly I was. I said, "Everybody else on the set got their names on a door." I said, "I don't even have a name on my door." That kind of nonsense, but I didn't know. You remember that movie where Can't Get Right was in it? The one with Martin Lawrence. What was that called? When they was in prison. I can't think of the name of that one.
Oh,
yes.
But
anyway,
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, when he said he can't get right. Well, that's kind of like where I was. Just
okay.
Couldn't get right. But
right, right.
Now, if that opportunity came today, different game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Definitely different game.
I'm sure it would be.
Oh,
you'd be all
game.
Over that.
It'd be different game.
Yeah. I think I would, too.
Yeah. I've watched and looked and learned a lot of different things. And that's kind of like how I was able to learn how to do broadcasting and different things too, because I've been in front of cameras a bunch of times, you know.
Right. Even that is an experience a lot of people
absolutely.
Don't have, you
absolutely.
Know.
Yeah.
That's different than being on the radio because you're really not being seen, you know, just
right, right. Okay,
hearing your
man.
Voice. Yeah.
It's a different. Mm-hmm. Because when we used to, I used to like to do the video for our church, and we was kind of in a church that started out small but ended up kind of being a mini mega. And I used to run their camera stuff all the time, man. And that stuff fascinates me. You know, being behind the camera and being in front of the camera. You know, so, yeah, I would do something different now. I would give it a good show.
Good, good. So, did you do a podcast in reference to that experience?
I don't think so. No, I didn't do any podcast based on that. But I did do another podcast that was called What are you going through? And I changed the words and said, "What is going through you?"
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular podcast, if you look in the background, it has this cylinder, this ball going through all of these loops. And it's kind of like a radio is what they call the theater of the mind. So you kind of have to develop what the person is looking at. But when you're doing video, you can show it, but you still have
right.
to get that concept across. So the whole idea is to be able enough to have stuff, for me, where to have things that indicated what it was that I was talking about. So this particular thing is what you have going through you. The types of things that you allow to come into your life that gets into your way of thinking, into your psyche, and causes you to get and go in a different direction that you really want to go in. So you have to learn what to accept. So everything that you get may come to you, but it doesn't have to go through you or inside of you. You can keep it outside. That's the thing you have to learn how to do.
Okay. All righty then. Okay. I like talking about your podcast.
Well, cool.
It gives you an opportunity to share with people, you know, some of the wisdom along the way that you've come up with, you know, and help leading other people to success and looking at themselves and seeing where they are in their lives. And you also did one, Where Are You Going? Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, Where Are You Going? Uh-huh. So elaborate on that a little bit for us.
Where Are You Going was another podcast that I did to ask the question, are you aware of the movement that you're having as a person? A lot of times, like if you see somebody and they're walking down the street, hey man, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Yeah, where you going? I'm going up the street. Okay. Well, up the street may not be the place that you need to be going. You may need to be going back down the street the other direction. So my whole premise in this was to get you to think about where you actually going, your direction, your movement in life, mm-hmm. how you're going from one place to the next, and your decisions that you make, and all the things that encompass life. Where are you going? That's a good question to ask. And if you don't know, you might have to come back and talk to the Lord.
Right. You better find out.
Then find out where you're supposed to be going.
Don't want to be lost. It's too much going on in
Absolutely.
The world today. Get lost and can't find your way back, or the wrong person find you. And
well, see, that happens too. There you go right there. Because when you lost, somebody might find you or something may find you.
Right, right. It still might not be the right direction.
Yeah, maybe not,
you know?
Be in the right direction.
Mm-mm-mm. And I also liked it, the one you did about who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Do you know who you are? The question is, that's another one that I had brought up, because a lot of times I had to ask my question myself to me. Do I know who I am? And you'll find that over the years, you're so influenced and moving with other people. Now, this is not everybody, of course. You know that, because we all individually do things individually different. But most of the time, when we start moving with who we are or trying to figure out where we're trying to go, you're going to have to sit down at some point and have a talk with yourself. And be honest with who you are and who you really are, not who you're saying you are. See, I was taught that we have three personalities. You got the person that everybody can see. Like if you look at me, you can tell that I'm a man and African-American and all that sort of thing. And then there's the person that I think that I am, the person that I'm looking in the mirror and building in my mind. And then there's the real person. It's who you really are. Now, that person that you really are, most people don't even work on that because we're too busy looking at the reflection, the person that we can see that everybody else may not be seeing.
Hmm.
So yeah. Know who you are, know what you're looking at, and understand the reflection.
Right.
Because I talk about that in one of them, that when you, I'm just going to tell it like it is, when you look in the mirror, you're not really looking at you. You're looking at an image of you. So you got to find out, quit trying to enhance the reflection and enhance the actual person. That's what you should be working on. That's what I work on.
And how do they do that? Especially if they have no idea where to start.
I always tell people this. I was at the family reunion the other day, and I saw this little teeny kid, and they had an old piano in there. And when the little kid, everybody was banging on it, okay, well, that's cool. But this little boy was playing it, and he was listening to the radio that was on, where they had this old school music playing. And I noticed that the little boy was hitting notes, but when the music changed and the people in the music went to a different register and mm-hmm. was singing in a different, like go to a change, he tried to figure that out. He knew something was supposed to change other than what he was doing.
Right.
Now, mind you, this is the first time this kid probably played on the piano. And I told his father when I saw him, I said, you need to watch this young brother because mm-hmm. he has a gift where he can hear.
Right.
And he can apply it to playing the piano.
Right.
So what you do is you look at what it is that you already have as a gift. You look at what you already love doing. You look at what's already coming to you. anything that God has given you as a gift, it comes to you easy. But mm-hmm. to make it great, you got to work on it.
Right.
But it comes to you. You know, just like I use Michael Jordan all the time. You know, people say Michael Jordan was a great basketball player. Michael Jordan played basketball great. Mm-hmm. But Michael Jordan also played tennis great. Michael Jordan also played golf great because he was a great athlete.
Right.
So his athleticism allowed him to apply it to everything.
Right. He even played baseball too, didn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Just one of them type of guys.
He just had, well, he discovered his gift.
Mm-hmm.
And he exploited it. He used it.
You right.
See? And a lot of times, that's another thing too. People look at these guys and they say, well, like for instance, I heard them telling LeBron, you know, just shut up and dribble. You got to understand something, man. LeBron came out of school with a grade school average. This brother was brilliant to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He 18 years old. He mm-hmm. goes right into the NBA
mm-hmm.
as a kid.
Right.
And he never once tripped. What I mean is, you could never tell he didn't belong. First day he played like he was a pro.
Hmm.
But see, that's a gift.
Right.
So
right.
Now, when you look at this guy and you're like, oh, he doesn't have an opinion. Sure he does. Because his gift ain't just playing the basketball. His gift is having the ability to maneuver, to see,
mm-hmm.
to play with a team, to bring people along, to entertain. All of those are part of the gift. Mm. And he recognized, got to do it.
Unstoppable, in a way. Yeah. You know, unstoppable.
You can't stop God's gift.
No.
Once, if you recognize it and use it, can't
let
you
stop. Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Wow. The gifts that we have, that we sometimes we just let them go to waste.
Absolutely. I know I have.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think about that all the time, too. I play guitar. I've been playing guitar since 74, somewhere around there. I'm still not good at it. A brother told me one time about 10 years ago. He said, man, look here. He said, some of the stuff that you're trying to do, he said, you're never going to be able to do that. He said, because those guys got special gifts to be able to play like they play.
Mm-hmm.
And now they practice.
Right.
They practice, too. But I'm like, man, I'm practicing, but the same. And here, like, we're talking about, you know, being on the right path.
Right.
Trying to, even though playing the guitar is something that I'm gifted to do, but playing the guitar at the level that I wanted to play, that was not for me. You know, I was more in a background type of person. You understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And writing music type person. So I was trying to play the guitar, but I was never going to be a Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Wasn't your gift.
Or Lenny Kravitz, or for that matter, anybody that can play really well. Name it.
Well, at least you tried, though.
But
I mean,
I did try. Yeah,
you could strum.
I still play.
Okay.
You know, it's not something, you know, I still have a studio and I still record.
Nothing wrong with that, though. Shoot.
Mm-mm.
I wish I had to learn to do something on instruments.
But you know, our family was all gifted.
Oh, yes.
Everybody in my family. Everybody, literally, I can say my mom and dad all both could sing.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids could play. I took it to another type of level. And my sister, my oldest sister, took hers on the gospel side. I went more to the jazz and blues side. But yeah, we could all play. It's a gift
okay.
that we all had.
Sure do. Sure do. And you're right. Some of those gifts and talents run through a family.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true. Now, I do have some in my family, but not in my household.
Right.
You know,
right. Mm-hmm.
like Bill Sims. And,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, he was, you know,
yeah.
of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Entertainer. Mm-hmm. Like, not just here, but abroad, you know. So, yeah, he was like that. I know there's somebody else. Chris was talented. But he didn't do anything. He didn't go anywhere with it.
But he the one that was singing with Keaton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were good.
Yeah.
The main attraction. Don't y'all forget them people. Yeah, that. I used to travel 8 hours to see Keaton and play. When I lived in Baltimore, when I knew Keaton and the group, the main attraction was going to play, hey, man, we would pack up and come in for a weekend, man, just to watch these guys play because they were that good.
Yeah. Yeah, they were so, that good.
Man, Chris could sing, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of them opportunities like you.
Yeah.
And didn't take it.
Yeah, ain't that something?
Yeah. With that beautiful voice, you know, just barreling out of this little person. You
yeah,
wouldn't even think.
Yeah.
you know, when he opened his mouth, that he had that much power in him, you know.
You know something else that I find interesting is that if you don't sit in your place, somebody else will.
Oh, yes.
Because nobody can occupy the same space you occupy at the same time you occupy it. But when you move or you're in the wrong place, somebody else can come and get into your spot. And then you'll be looking at them talking about, you know what, you got my stuff. Yeah, because you didn't pick it up.
Right.
See, you were all over there on Route 40, and you should have been on 70, you know, right direction, wrong path. That's why we do these things, so people can hear different ways of looking at
life.
Getting to look inside yourself.
You know? Yes. Yes, that's why we do it. Bring awareness to people, you know, and hopefully, you know, empowering them to tap into their own gifts that God has given them and do something with them, you know.
That was the reason why I put Willie Harris Tap 1, because I was talking about not the tap that you have where you play taps or you do tap dance and all that sort of thing, but to tap into your power, into your gift, who you are.
Mm.
And that's why I say Willie Harris Tap 1. Sound like I'm promoting that, don't it?
You should. I mean, that's your YouTube. Yeah. That's how I found you. Yeah. Yeah, you have to let them know how they can get that, you know, pull it up on their, they can also pull this up on their TV, right? If it's on YouTube.
If they got YouTube, all they got to do is go into any YouTube application and just put in Willie Harris Tap 1.
Right.
And then the videos will come up. Then you can just hit the part that says videos and then just go through and pick the ones that you want to.
Right.
I tried to make them entertaining and I tried to be a little light. I didn't want to speak some things because a lot of that was already being done. I didn't want to just give out an opinion. I knew when God talked to me about my particular journey that he has me on, I know that that's real.
Mm-hmm.
So I can speak about that.
Right, you know? Right.
But a lot of times when people do all this other stuff, they're just talking about making up and coming up with their opinions about how they feel about certain things. But I've done this stuff and it works.
Great. Great. That's why we're trying to continue on today, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm all about that, too, because I have, you know, grandchildren and, well, all of them are grown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last one, he just graduated this year in May. Yeah, he's 18. So all my grandchildren are grown. And
I thought you was about 21, 22.
Thank you.
I tell you the truth. Here I am thinking.
Thank you. Wow.
Wrong with that.
No, not at
we
all.
We know what don't crack. We ain't got to say it.
Right. A lot of people know that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, that also is a testament to you because of how you've kept yourself, too. Because I know people that's our age, that looks our age. You know, they'd be like, ooh, you sure you this? My goodness. Because I see some people that say they went to school when I went to school. I'm like, man, ain't no way. That we went to school together. And then you talking about you 2 years younger than me? Please.
Yeah.
But everybody didn't take care of themselves because they didn't know to.
I have to give God all the credit for
there
that.
You go.
You know, I have to because there came a time in my life when I had to let him lead the way and
absolutely
lead me,
absolutely,
you know.
I can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't want to leave this earth. I want to be obedient and do what God wants me to do.
Absolutely. You know, I don't want to get up to the door and knock on the door and he'd be like, oh, hold up. You stand over there to that side, please.
Right.
Like, hey, why are we standing over here? Did you finish everything when you was on earth? No, I didn't. That's why we're in this line. You don't want to be in that line.
No.
You want the line where he said, come on in, my sister. Come on in, my brother.
Yes.
Not hold up right there.
Right.
But, you know, I contribute that to my mother, too, because my mother was a praying woman. And I've seen that woman pray for things. I remember one time, I'm going to try to tell this without getting emotional. Real quick, we didn't have no toy. He was on welfare. And Mama wrote to Kennedy. That dude wrote her back.
Mm.
Christmas Day, a truck pulled up.
What?
Full of toys.
Oh, my.
If that ain't God.
Amen.
What is?
Right. So true. Whoa.
How does a woman with a fourth grade or fifth grade education write the President of the United States and tell him that her kids won't have a Christmas because they don't have money.
Mm.
And this guy sends it.
Wow.
Anyways, I'm going to get past that one because that always tug at me because it just shows how good God is.
Yes, yes. And not only that, she had the courage and the confidence to write to the president. It takes a lot to do that.
I got enough time to tell this one story.
Yeah, you should. About 10 minutes.
I had turned 18, ran away from home, was in the Navy. My parents had found me. Now I'm in Corpus Christi and everything is straight and we know where we at. And thanks to my sister Mary, I'm going to put on blast because she told on me how to tell the military how to find me. So anyways, I get there and I fall in love with this chick. Didn't know what I was doing because I was just turned. She was 19. I was just 18. Didn't know what I was doing. And she was a white lady and I'm black. And we're in Texas. This is 74. You do the math. You know where I'm at. And my mother called me up one day and she said, Junior, she said, I had this dream that you was driving this car. And she described this chick's car.
Mm.
And she described the color of this car. And I knew where she was coming from because I knew how she worked with God. Because mind you, I've been watching this lady pray all this time.
Right, right.
She said, now, honey, she said, now, that girl that you're messing with, she's not going to be good for you. That girl's going to get you in trouble.
Wow.
And I was like, Mama, whatever you do, don't start praying and talking to God about it. And she said, honey, I got to ask God about this. So she prayed, told me about it. And it wasn't a week later, that lady called me up. And I knew when they told me I had a phone call. They said, well, you got a phone call downstairs. I go downstairs and it's her. I answer the phone and she said, hey, look, I'm getting ready to leave. What do you mean you're leaving? Now, we was in Corpus. She said, I got to leave. She said, I don't know where I'm going or why I'm going. But she said, I know I got to leave here and I got to leave now. Never seen her again.
Really?
Mm-mm. I'm so mad at my mother. Got rid of my woman. Then I come to find out that lady's mother worked in an office downtown with lawyers and judges. And that she was prejudiced and racist.
Hold on. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Hello?
Hello, who is this? Linda Sims?
Yes, it is. Who is this?
This is Teddy Jolla.
Hi.
Does that ring a bell?
Tell me your last name again.
Jolla. J-O-L-L-I-F. Teddy.
Okay.
You're not familiar with me.
I don't think so.
Well, that's all you have to say. Say, hey, honey, I have to get more acquainted with you.
Okay. Hey, honey, I have to get more acquainted with you. Yes. Did you have a question?
I hear you sing on 107.1, you know, and I've met you up there in the studio. You're at the studio now, I presume. Am I interrupting something right now?
Yes, I have a guest on my show. Did you have a question for him?
Oh, that's okay. I'll catch up with you later, Linda. You take care, dear. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye. All righty, then. Let us move on.
Move on to the next move.
Amen. 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 Okay. Prayer. Yes. And I also want you to talk about the fabric of America. Listen to that. And that was really good, too, because you've touched on this as far as being African-American and being in the Navy and being with this girl who was white and you were black. So I thought that was really powerful skit that you did, the fabric of America. And
Fabric of America.
And what year did you do that?
You talking about the actual podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Last year.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, then.
I did all the podcasts last year.
All right. Let's go with that. Yeah.
Fabric of America. I fell in love with Carole King's music. And one of the albums that she had out was called The Tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I first learned what the word tapestry meant, how you can weave a piece of cloth together.
Right.
And make a, you know, whatever. And in this particular instance, when I was talking about America, the fabric of America, I'm just talking about if you look at the forefathers of this country and when they started designing and putting in laws and writing the Constitution and various things, the fabric that they never took out was racism, because they didn't include everybody. It only included a few people, mm-hmm. you know, white men that had money or property and that sorts of thing. So that is what America has woven its fabric out of. And my whole premise is this: in order to get rid of that, you have to go in there and remove that whole thread and string, which is almost impossible to do. So when I tell you that it's the fabric of America, I'm talking about the thing that when you look at what America's all about, and you look at this whole red, white, and blue, you look at how it was designed, and that fabric is what we have. My grandfather told me one time, he said, son, if you want to build a house made out of wood, he said, you can't start with brick. He said, because whatever you started with, that's what you end up with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I came up with the fabric of America, because we need to change the fabric of this country. And I think it'll change. Slowly.
Yeah. And it has
it's
been.
Pulling, threads are being pulled out now.
Yeah.
We're watching how the political thing is unfolding with all of the stuff that's going on, not to get into any specifics. And you realize that the reason that you hear such a grumbling and people are so upset is because that fabric is being pulled out. Now all of a sudden what was is not going to be. And a lot of people don't know how to make that adjustment.
Right,
but they don't have to.
Fabric of America.
Absolutely.
Has been woven.
Yeah.
Partial. Yes. And when you talk about politics, it's sort of like, we were doing great, but, or good. We were doing good, and then another power or a person in power comes after that and embraces all these other fabrics that led to racism and what you call separation of the races and all that kind of stuff. So now we're trying to pull up out of that again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people talk about Civil War and all that type of thing, you know, but I'm optimistic like you. I think we can pull ourselves up out of this fabric that we're in.
You know, as quiet as it's kept, the people that's complaining don't know the people that they're complaining with, because they've never faced themselves and had to face off with themselves about what America's really about. And that's really what you're saying right now with mm-hmm. the different groups fighting against each other, because they're trying to decide how they're going to make this America work. And they're realizing that the playbook that they have ain't working.
Hmm.
You see? They're going to have to either get a new playbook, or get a new coach. They're going to have to do something. So that's what we're seeing happening now. It's flipping. It's changing. And it's going to change.
Yeah, I believe that.
Well, absolutely. Everything does.
Yes. You're right, whether they want to or not.
Yeah, it's inevitable. You're going to change.
Yes, going to change. But change is good.
In some cases. But yeah, I understand your point. I don't just change just to change, you know, but I understand your point.
Right.
Change can be very good.
It can be. Yeah. And the Lord told me it's necessary sometimes, you know.
Absolutely.
Everything's not going to remain the same. The only thing that does not change is God himself.
That's absolutely true. You know, in politics, you were speaking on that. The one thing that I found out, I never knew this, is that in politics, you don't have any permanent friends, just permanent situations. And whatever everybody is trying to do at the time. Now, you take two politicians, they may don't like each other, but if they're on the same subject, or if they think the same thing needs to be passed, they'll work together. But if not, they might be total enemies. And that's why, like right now, when you look at the president now, and you look at how he talks about the people across the aisle, he always call them my friends, because they are. His
mm-hmm.
friends, they just got different views right now
mm-hmm.
and different, but they still friends.
Right.
So, you know, you got to understand how politics work. I didn't understand that for a long time, because I was like, oh, you know, you can't jump back and forth. Yes, you can. You can be for something today and be with a group today, and then tomorrow that group may change something. You may be like Liz Cheney. You know, she's like, hey, I'm not for that. So
right.
Politics is slippery, man.
It is slippery.
It is, man. It's above me. I don't understand politics in that. it's too much of it.
Yeah, it is. And it's gotten, I think it's gotten,
games,
yeah, it is. Yes, it is. And people are, it leaves people confused.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the point. They want you to be confused.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where people are, they're just confused. Well, what is going on? You know,
right.
you supposedly be with one party and against the other party, but then you find out that party is no better than the other party. Mm-hmm. They're all men.
Oh, yeah. That's all it is, people. Yeah.
All people trying to run this world, trying to run our nation, you know. So,
yeah.
You're right. All friends. But we're out of time again.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, where does the time go?
It goes by really fast.
It does. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Miss Sims.
Same here.
And being on the show, and I want to thank you for allowing me to come on with my extapades.
Yeah.
Got plenty of them, you know, been around then.
Oh, so I'll have you back. Don't...
It's good to be able to express it and talk
yes,
about it.
Yes, yes. We'll have to make up for this and do our live when we get this computer
Absolutely.
Working again. Yes,
yes.
Yes, and thank you mm-hmm. once again, and thank you for listening to A Voice of the People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Also, don't forget, 107.1.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion.